Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Frio Big Footy podcast. This week we'll be going back over the derby where Fremantle ended up probably being a little bit close for comfort, but kicked away when required. And then we'll also have a look at a couple of key re-signings through the week and obviously the exciting selection news for this week as well. Joining us this week is our usual Victorian guru, Seppo. How are you, mate?
I am good to be here, and exciting days for Frio supporters with so many signings and team selection news going our way.
Absolutely, and also joining us is our resident New South Wales expert this week in Simo Frio. How are you, mate? Thanks for coming on board.
Yes, and Jerry and Sebe, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Terrific, and obviously last week we saw Fremantle end up in a sort of game of like fits and spurts where Fremantle in the end ended up being a comfortable, well, not comfortable, but a pretty manlike win for 13 goals 10 88 to a 11 goals 15 81, where sort of West Coast had their chances in the second quarter, pretty similar to the first derby this year, but wasted their chances, and Fremantle probably in the end had enough class to get over the line. What do you think of the game, Seppo? Obviously watching on the big screen over there.
Yeah, it was pretty nerving, obviously, for the Eagles to have a lot of the lead for that first half, but I knew they couldn't sustain it and we'd eventually kick into gear. Obviously, what we were talked about a lot of last week was how we struggled with the key talls down back and how we would line up, and I did think that they would push Main down back, and when I saw Tabana struggle early, I thought they might make a change, but it was good to see they stuck fat with him and kept him down there. And I thought there was some good jobs done through that sort of defensive side of the ground. And it was great to see that third quarter that we did push ahead. And it's, you know, they took the foot off the gas a bit and let them back into it. And then we nearly had them again in that halfway through the last quarter. And then the Eagles obviously claimed some late ones. And obviously Ross wasn't too happy about that and let the guys know. But it's just great to get the result because with the personnel available on the field, it was just good to get the win without a convincing victory.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Simo, watching the game over there?
Yeah, look, as Sebo said, it was pretty nerve-wracking, obviously, but it was good to get the 4 points. And I think apart from Tabana, I think it was, there was no other injuries and suspensions for once, which is a good thing this year for Frio. But I, for one, was obviously pretty nervous about the tall forward line against our depleted back line. And I think it was just really good for the boys to come out and show that we can reshuffle. I know Ross has a lot of faith in the coaching staff, and who they put in there are going to do the job. So to see those talls, you know, be able to be taken gives you a lot of faith against coming up against teams as well, like Hawthorn and Sydney, that have those taller forward lines. I think as well, another thing for me was it was amazing to see Chris Main back in form. That was a big one for me. I've really worried about him this year. He's seemed to struggle with injuries and just hasn't been on his game, I don't think. And, you know, to see him with his 17 disposals, you know, he only got the one goal, but the six marks, four tackles, he looks back in form. And I think that's really going to help us come finals time.
Yeah, I think that was a key point you made, Simo. And, like, the fact that he sort of, particularly in the second half, he came, you know, he's a lot of one-touch marking, which is really good. I mean, he made a couple of small errors in the first half, but you've certainly seen that he's building up, and I think he's obviously gradually recovering from that injury that he had at the start of the year, which is pleasing. And as you said, Seppo, talking about Tabana earlier, I mean, he did look a bit lost at times, and obviously learning to sort of touch his, like getting on hold of his man and that sort of thing, and that's going to come with experience. But I think, you know, a few guys are probably a bit harsh on him considering he only sort of found out the morning of the game and hasn't played probably there for two or three years. So I thought against the odds, I thought he battled pretty hard all day. And although he sort of made a few little blunders with his kicking, I think in the end he sort of ended up being sort of taking the safe route and then just ended up going down boundary side. And you can't, you know, I mean, you'd rather him do that than trying to sort of go outside his limitations as well.
Yeah. I thought Hilly had a ripping game and a great deserving winner of the Roscoe medal. I thought the way that he took the game on a bit, and even how Daniel Pearce is really starting to do the same thing and back in his kicking, because those two, I think, are actually leading the comp for inside 50s. I think Daniel Pearce is first and Hilly second, but the way we've been able to get our avenues to goal with, you know, Pav well down on form, he didn't have too much of an impact. I think he got kept well, but the way that those two guys are pushing the ball out of the midfield and getting those kicks into our forwards, no matter where they're going to be, if they're inside 50s or just outside of lowering the eyes, those two guys have certainly put on a good show the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think the other one that was interesting, obviously Fife certainly justified his re-signing the week before with a terrific performance, especially when the game was on the line. But the other guy probably stood up a bit, and anyone who sits near me at the footy, particularly 2 or 3 years ago, I used to really get frustrated watching him, but he's now starting to put it together, is Duffield. You know, with our guys down the back there, particularly most of our leaders, I thought him and Dawson, but Duffield in particular, considering he's sort of getting tagged, played a sensational first half and really kept us in it there with his ball use, particularly out of 50 as well. Such a good kick of the ball.
I was surprised at how much of the actual ball he got. I think he was right up there on the stat sheet, and he's almost taken over that Johnson role while he's not down there, being that general in defence and really dictating the movement of play and getting onto that kick that really rebounds us out. So it's great to see that other guys are stepping up in the absence of the key guys like Johnson and McFarlane.
And I think people can be quite harsh as well on the boards at some time with Daniel Pearce. I mean, he's kind of, to me, he's a bit like what Hilly was a couple of years ago. I remember us sitting there all saying the same thing about Stephen Hill. Is he ever going to come out? Is he ever going to, be the player we expect him to be? And then look at what Hill's doing this year. You know, he's become fantastic. And I think Pearce is that same sort of player in terms of, you know, he's just got to hit his straps. Like, if once again, looking at the stats from the game, he actually had more possessions than Michael Barlow. But you don't see people going out there and saying, oh, you know, Barlow had a terrible game. So I think Pearce will come good. He had a great couple of games at the start of the year. And I think he's just having a little bit of a rough patch. But, you know, disposals-wise, you know, you'd still rather have him in your team than out.
And how good was that goal of his right tight on the boundary that was almost that seal? It was just that last one that sort of put us right up to that nice, comfortable margin. It was, a great goal. And he's done that once or twice now and had a celebration to go with it.
Yeah. I think the other one, the other standout really performance for me with the day was probably Sutcliffe on Darling, you know. Although Darling hasn't probably had a terrific season, Sutcliffe certainly didn't give him any opportunity to get his form back. And considering he's sort of giving away quite a bit in height and in size, I thought he played a terrific game on him, and was able to sort of use the ball relatively well coming out of defence as well. And even the nice push on the chest with Darling's, I still don't know why he didn't get cited for that with staging. But anyway.
That head flick back, that was terrible. But yeah, it's amazing to think at the start of the game, if you told me that Sutcliffe was lining up on Darling, I wouldn't think that he'd come out in front. I thought we'd be in for a rough ride. But Sutcliffe, like you said, really stood up well. And given the differential in height and weight and size on those two, he certainly come out on top in that battle.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Obviously, with Sylvia coming out as the sub, what did you think of his performance? I thought it was quite good in the first half and laid some really strong tackles, and his ball use and making right decisions was quite strong, but obviously fell a bit away in the second half. But what did you guys think of his performance?
I loved his goal and the whole lead up to the play, because I think it was another repeat effort, and that's something we saw of him last week, that even though he didn't get too much of it, but the way he pushed forward and tackled, and you know, we led the tackles again. I think we total tackles were 68-60, so the way that he's working as a forward and putting on pressure, and he's doing the job that we want him to do. And I'm just so glad that he got a goal before he subbed off. And it's a real shame, because I thought there might have been one or two others that could have been pulled off. But at least, you know, he had a good run, got on the scoreboard, and hopefully that does his confidence well to lead it into playing against his old side this week.
And I thought Sylvia as well. I thought, from my perspective, on the TV, I thought he was great. And it wasn't. And I kept bringing up with people that he tackled, you know, was tackling all the time. But then when you actually had a look at the stat sheet, he actually only had one tackle for the game, which really surprised me, because every time that we're inside that 50, you know, every shot Sylvia seemed to be in it. So he's always in the thick of things, and I think that's what Ross wants him to do. He wants him to get out there and just to get that hard body and lay some tackles. And if he keeps doing that, I think he'll stay in the team longer than he's out.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as you said, that pressure, that, I mean, it was a cracking tackle, the one too, and it led to his first goal for the club, which had a crucial, I mean, it was a pretty crucial time. West Coast were up and about a bit early, so it just helped settle the side. But that, as you said, that play with the cracking tackle and then sort of get straight back up and then receive the handball from Pav. And obviously Pav didn't look 100% out there all game, really. I mean, and credit to McKenzie, I thought he defended him pretty well. But, you know, Pav certainly didn't look 100% out there in the game. And once again, Seppo, we managed to get under 10 free kicks for the game. I think we're on world record pace this year for...
Yeah, I think we're second in the comp for least free kicks awarded to us. So we're doing all right in the department. And like Simo said at the start, it's amazing that we come out of this, other than that little injury to Tabana, we come out of this with no suspensions and no major injuries is a really a record for a derby.
Not even exciting. It was a boring Monday afternoon.
Yeah. It is a bit unusual.
I'll take that, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I mean, the good thing is now, as you said, with probably the exception of a couple of guys now, we're just about getting our full squad back and up and running. And, you know, I think Johnson, obviously, and is probably the key guy still out. But, you know, particularly if Morabito puts in a reasonable performance this week and De Boer keeps pressing, there's going to be some real tough calls for spots coming up in the next month or so. And I think, as you said, I don't think any guys can really afford to be taking their foot off the pedal, that's for sure.
Not now.
All right. Obviously, any other points, boys, you want to make on the derby before we move on?
No, I'd just like to point out the fact that Nat Nui didn't manage to register a single kick or I think it was a mark either. He was, very limited. It's funny how they dropped young Lyset, I think, or didn't play Sinclair and let him run around there again and really doesn't look like he's in form. It's funny how they keep playing him.
We'll still get the Brownlow boots, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. Even on, I think it was on Fox Footy tonight, they were talking about like best tap ruckman, and you know, it's quite interesting that most of the, supporters was like who voted on it, 43% voted for Sandilands, but in the when it was actually asked by the players, and I don't know how big the sample size was, but it was like 28% of them all picked Nick Nat, and 21% picked Sandilands. So
wow,
yeah, so it was quite interesting looking at the different. You know, when you're looking at the different perspectives from teams compared to the individual players as well.
Was the whole sample size the Eagles squad?
it would think so. Actually, in fairness, Dean Cox actually picked Sandilands as well, and he was instead of his own teammate.
Ooh.
So, but all the rest of them, you know, but as I said, a lot of the other, particularly the Victorian club, ended up picking Nat Nui. So, yeah, it was quite interesting. Obviously, you know, there was obviously a bit of discussion as well during the week, or a bit of controversy with Fremantle obviously having a couple of players under a bit of a cloud with Fife with his back and also Zach Clark with his knee. So Fremantle obviously held Sheridan and Bradley over and it sort of caused a bit of a problem in the Waffle Peel game where those guys didn't come down till later. And to be honest with you, it was pretty poor timing by the Waffle. I mean, you know, during a derby they're going to hold blokes over. And, I mean, they played a Waffle game on the Sunday, so it would have made common sense to play East Fremantle Peel on the Sunday after the derby, or you know, so at least then you would be able to, or even play a night game if at worst, and at least give them the opportunity to get their full side in there. So at the end of the day, Peel did a reasonable job in the circumstances, but unfortunately ended up going down to Subiaco, 11 goals 18 to 7 goals 16, so both teams a bit inaccurate there. But obviously, Morabito did enough to get a recall. And anything else that I know, Simo, that you had a little bit you wanted to sort of discuss on this one
from the Waffle game? Yeah, look, yeah. I thought I just had a quick look through the stats. Didn't obviously get to watch it over here in Sydney, but you know, I noticed obviously De Boer, Crozier. It's you know the boys that are sort of in and out of our Frio team doing quite well. But the thing that I really liked was looking at Apeness. Obviously, he had 18 disposals, 2 goals, 1, 7 marks, but 3 inside 50s, but also had 7 hitouts. So it looks like they had him in the ruck a little bit, which was interesting because, you know, looking at people talking about whether Zach Clark's going to, you know, go back as a ruckman or whether he might even be, you know, carrying an injury, it was interesting to see Apeness pushed up to do a bit of ruck duties, which almost points towards maybe they're just getting him ready to be able to cover that spot. But then, of course, Griffin as well, you know, 29 hitouts, 2 inside 50s, 21 disposals, you know, but and also his tackling looked like it was on song in that game as well. So, you know, Griff's looking like he's pushing and it's just great to see Apeness getting closer, I think.
Yeah. And the other probably pleasing thing, obviously, for Fremantle supporters would be the fact that Gumbleton's got through another game. And although his inaccuracy cost him, at least it was pleasing to see he actually did get four shots on goal. Unfortunately, he didn't kick any of them, but, I mean, at least it's a pleasing sign that he's at least getting his hands on the ball and getting a few shots for goal, which, you know, as I said, I think, you know, that forward spot, you know, whether it be Gumbleton or Aitnes, I think we still obviously just getting that right key forward, I think will make a bit of a difference if one of them can stand up between now and the end of the year.
It's going to be very hard, even though if Gumbleton, instead of kicking 0-4, he'd actually kick four goals straight if we'd have enough grounds to really warrant, you know, someone dropping out of the side. And like you said, Simo, if Clark's carrying a bit of a niggle or an injury, look, I've played obviously right now, but you'd have to really string a good couple of weeks and push down the door, you know, bags of 3 or 4 really as a key forward to push out our forward structure. Because at the moment we seem to be working well with Pav as the almost lone key forward and a whole bunch of, you know, either resting ruckman and smaller guys around him. So it'd be interesting to see the dynamic, how it can actually go with a second forward, a taller bloke, if they do start to really press through the Waffle games.
Gump took 4 marks in that Waffle game, and I'm very, you know, considering he had 4 shots of goal, I'm very interested to know if those 4 marks were just clunks inside 50, which is what we've been looking for in the firsts, or whether they were out on the ground a bit more, and whether he was, you know, whether he got his goals off handball receives or something. But 4 marks. But the good thing is 2 tackles as well. A lot of people have been saying on the board that you know, when he hurt himself doing a tackle, and they were working on for a little while, from the sounds of it. Looks like he might be back on track, Gumby.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we might see if we can get down and watch a bit more of the Peel game this week. Obviously, moving on, before we sort of get to the ins and outs this week, obviously a key re-signing for Fremantle during the week, with David Mundy securing his future at Fremantle till 2017, signing a 3-year deal and putting to rest any sort of talk or free agency bubble going into the finals, which is, I think, a terrific sign for the club, and obviously allows them now just to concentrate on doing the job at hand between now and the end of the season. And I don't think there'd be too many people disappointed with that re-signing, that's for sure. What do you think, Seppo?
No, I think it's just great we've got him off the table and now we can focus on the rest of the contracts we've got going. So great to have, you know, Fife sign up the week before and have a great performance, and then Mundy sign, and hopefully he leads into a great performance. And now we've got, you know, a lot more to focus on now that he's wrapped up and concentrate on footy now.
Absolutely. And obviously, the moving on to the Melbourne Fremantle game this week, obviously Ballantyne is playing his 100th game this week. And I see I was waiting to see if the West was going to put out their hero poster for Bellows this week, but doesn't seem to be coming that way. But also, obviously, the key news and inclusion this week, which got the board all up and excited, and all Fremantle supporters have been, it's been a long day coming, and I think it's terrific that obviously Morabito got his chance, and the footage I'm sure most of the supporters would have seen on the news or Fox Footy or on the website to see Ross Lyon bring the group in and then announce the inclusion was terrific for him, and obviously another key inclusion for us as well with Luke McFarlane back, and he'll certainly be a welcome addition back to our defence this week after having him and Johnson out for the last couple of weeks.
Certainly will be, and it's great to see that, you know, it's not only Morabito coming back, it's sort of overshadowed McFarlane's inclusion back into the side, because McFarlane at the moment is a lot more important than Morabito. It's almost like a nice, you know, cream on the cake to be able to get someone like Morabito back in this side, but McFarlane's going to be quite key as an inclusion, and now we can actually go in with McFarlane and Dawson down there and actually have more of a recognised back line. So it's great to see that he's got up and he's on the plane and he's there to play.
Yeah, and obviously the two outs this week, obviously Matt Taverner, who they talked about, ruled out yesterday with a bit of a hamstring injury, so which is a bit of a disappointment for him. Would have been interesting to see if he would have got another crack even going up forward this week, but not to be. And obviously Clancy Pearce, who came on as a sub last week, but just struggled to get into the game a little bit last week, and not sure the sub is the ideal position for him. So obviously he'll go back to Peel and try and force his way back in. And for Melbourne this week, Tom McDonald and Geordie McKenzie come into the side, where Neville Jetta's out with suspension and Daniel Nicholson has been omitted. Obviously the game is bit unusual for us, Fremantle going up to Darwin. I think they did go up there once before to play Western Bulldogs, but it's been a while and it's going to be quite a warm day with 32 degrees and about 50% humidity expected. So the boys are trying on a few, you know, a bit of the gloves at training to see if it works. So it'll be interesting to see if any of the guys decide to go ahead and do that on the night.
It'd be interesting. I know it's dry season up there, but obviously it might get a bit dewy at that time. It's, I think, played at 7 o'clock local time up there. So it'd be interesting to see if they do start with it, because I think a couple of years ago, the last game played up in Darwin had a couple of players, I think, from Port and Melbourne or Bulldogs. Can't remember which size they were. They did have gloves on, but by the time they got to half time, they'd taken it off, and I think it was just too much for some. So we probably won't have every single player out there with the old Quinton Lynch-style gloves, but you'll probably find that some of them take them off and just work through it. So hopefully players like Daniel Pearce leave it on, because he's going to need all the type of control he can get with the ball in hand. So it will be interesting to see how dewy and slippery it is.
I think it's more important for those forwards to have them on, I think, if they're playing down in the forward line, because just reminiscing back to the Brisbane game where it sort of wasn't much of a spectacle when the rain was pouring down there and made it really, really slippery. So I think to try and avoid that, I think as long as we've got our big, you know, marking backmen and forwards, if they have those gloves on, I think that'll be more important than the midfield, I think.
Absolutely. And obviously, I mean, with all of you being greens, that probably Morabito will start the sub this week. I mean, that seems to be Lyons' mantra, like he did with Sylvia and a few others. You play a week in the sub, see how you go, and then you sort of wheeze your way back. I mean, you couldn't imagine him starting the game. When you look at Zach Clark, Lockie Neal and Barlow on the interchange, so you'd have to think that Morabito would be a Monty for the sub.
Bit much on him to give him a full game from here on. So you'd think you'd want to ease him into it, give him that sub, and it's very hard, like, to really put him straight into a game. I think someone's pointed out in the forum that, you know, there's a best 22 out there, and it's very hard for him, off his performance, to sort of displace one of those guys out there that deserve a full game. So really it's easing him to the side and also letting him prove himself in hopefully more than a quarter's worth of footy. So hopefully he does get a good opportunity and not brought on too late in the game. But, yeah, I think it's a perfect introduction. Hopefully once the Stings come out of the game, because Melbourne might come out a bit fired up early, it might be a perfect opportunity for Morrow to come into it.
Where do you guys think he would actually play if he did start the game? I know he probably won't this week, but if he did, where do you think he'd actually play? I know he's obviously a midfielder, but he's been playing down, he started playing down back a fair bit in the waffle, and we know he can play sort of off that half forward as well. Where do you think they would start him if they started?
Probably on the wing, like right outside of the contest, or even drifting half forward or half back. They'd probably keep him on the outside, and I think that's where they've even talked. I think someone made the comparison. I don't know if it was a Juno, one of Ross's presser, talking about Sylvia versus Morabito, and Ross pointed out they're two different type of players, and you know, Morabito's a true winger, so to speak, or an inside mid. So that's sort of where he's looking at the moment. He'll probably start on the outside, get some run into his legs, a nice straight line play. Don't get him too involved in the contest. It'll be a great introduction for him.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if he did play that role across halfback, and you know, depending on matchups, might even allow Sutcliffe to go up the ground a little bit more as well, but go back into a more of a midfield role, and they could rotate between there. So
that's the way it's named. When you look at it, you've got Lee Spurr, Zach Dawson, Duffield, Ibo, McFarlane, Mazunga as the back six, where Cameron Sutcliffe's actually named at the half forward line. So that's the opportunity really for there, that if he's not played in that position, that could be a spot for Mora as well.
Yeah. And obviously, Melbourne have been a much improved side this year and able to certainly stem the scoring that flow that happened in the previous couple of seasons, obviously with Ross, with Paul Roos going into the side. And obviously they're much more competitive, but I think Roos alluded to himself on Monday night on AFL 360, the fact that Melbourne still have those lapses in the game where they can't, probably a little bit like the Eagles, you know, they sort of give away 20 minutes of a game and allows that other team just to get away, kick away. And I think if Fremantle obviously will be able to punish Melbourne if they do have that lapse again this week. So it'll be interesting to see if they are able to put those four quarters together. And the other thing will be obviously Crowley in the past has pretty much always gone to Nathan Jones because he's really the only midfielder they've had. But most teams have been sort of putting the glove on Dom Tyson. So it'll be interesting to see which way Ross Lyon decides to use Crowley in this one. What do you guys think? How do you think they'll use Crowley in this game?
Well, I think he's like always gone to the most damaging player, like how we used him on Hanley a couple of weeks ago against Brisbane, and did a great job, I think, on Shuey just last week. So you'd think that maybe it will be Jones again. Jones tends to play more of an inside game, and he might run head-to-head. So it could be Tyson, but Tyson, the young kids, seem to be struggling a bit, so probably wouldn't need such a hard-running tag. So it'll be interesting to see how they use Crowley and who they decide is more damaging. So I'd probably have to look into the Melbourne games a bit more. I haven't seen too much of the key details of how they go, but it'll be interesting to see how he's applied and how he's used, because he's certainly got a bit of the ball at stages during the derby when he wasn't applying that hard tag.
What about Benny Vince as well? He's had a few good games as well. He played really well last week. I don't know if worthy of a tag, but he's been running a bit right lately as well, so maybe an option for something a bit more left field.
Yeah, and I mean, Jack Viney's the other one. Obviously, he's another sort of hardened inside midfielder, but you would think that they would probably allow Fife or Mundy to go the head-to-head, and obviously they've brought Jordy McKenzie into the side, so you'd have to think that he'll either get whether they try and run him with Hill. Obviously, there was that stat during the week where they were talking about the fact that if Hilly gets over 25%, possessions, that Fremantle win 94% of the game. So it'll certainly be interesting to see which way Paul Roos decides to tackle sort of shutting down the Fremantle midfield, because obviously Jordy McKenzie, that's his sort of specialty role. So it'll be interesting to see which way they decide to run with it.
I think they've used McKenzie on Fife in the past, so it'll be interesting to see in those games that they did actually tag Fife that we actually had Hill out there, and if he was damaging or not. Obviously, we might have still won those games, but interesting that some sides have chosen to tag Fife, and he has been not able to handle the tag quite well, but obviously it means that someone else is getting off the chain, so you can sort of afford to sacrifice that because you've got guys like Hilly and Pierce that thrive on a bit of open space, and when they're not being watched carefully.
The other interesting point, boys, I suppose this week is the fact that Fremantle have flown up two guys as emergencies. And obviously there's been a little bit of talk about whether Hill's got a bit of a niggle. So it'd be interesting to see if with two emergencies go up, whether there may be a late change or a late withdrawal in the game, and you know, who it may be, because it's unusual for Fremantle to take two emergencies up, particularly when you look at the fact that it's Clancy Pearson. I think Crozier is the other one who's flown up as well.
Did Hill fly? The last thing I checked on the board this afternoon, that was the discussion going on, was that the reporters didn't actually report him getting to the airport at all, but apparently you trained well this afternoon. So maybe that might be another thing with Morabito. Maybe Morabito might, you know, take that Hill spot if he doesn't get up.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously, I mean, although, you know, it's good to have a rest, you really don't want, I mean, the fact that Hill's been in such great form, you don't really want him to sort of try and miss too many games, that's for sure. And obviously,
it did happen a lot last year with Hilly, and I think he was carrying a bit of an injury in an ankle, and he seemed to play. And I remember the stages where he rested up and forward. So if we've got an opportunity to pull him out of a game, and even if it is a more of a wet condition game, don't really have the forecast up there, but a player like Clancy Pearce would be perfect. For, you know, if the ball's slipping around and it's going to be, you know, a bit of a hard contest, he'd be the perfect type of player to actually add into that side if we do need to make a light change for Hill.
Yeah, and, you know, it may be the fact that he's going up a bit late, but as I said, I think there was certainly some doubt about whether he'll get on the plane or not, or whether he did get on the plane. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Hill this week, and to see whether he does end up pulling on the boots and having a game. Any other matchups that intrigue you this week, and to see how they go? Obviously, there's been a lot of talk on our board as well about James Frawley, and you know, with his impending free agency, and be interesting to see. Obviously, he's lined up on Pavlich, and be interesting to see whether they do play him in defence, or whether they do move him up forward as well.
Yeah, he's played a lot of his games up forward, but they've named him back, and obviously they've got the luxury of they've got Dawes and Pedersen there that are playing quite well, and Gorn sort of resting ruck to help out Jamar there. So I suppose they do have a fairly reasonable tall side. Not overly tall, but, yeah, it means that Frawley might have a job to help out on Pav down back, but I expect that he'd spend a bit of time up forward and try and stretch us with just McFarlane and Dawson there.
Yeah, and I mean, the other interesting thing will be who they play on Ballantyne. Obviously, he's been close to career best form, and obviously they've lined him up on Colin Garland, who's probably hasn't probably played anywhere near as well as he has in the past, but I mean, also Jack Grimes would probably be a likely candidate for him. So, yeah, it'll be certainly interesting to see how they all line up, and obviously Ruse has managed to get the best out of guys like Lyndon Dunn, and even Howe going back looks a lot, is looking pretty good down there for them. So I don't think this will be certainly as an easy game as probably a lot of people thought at the start of the year, but Fremantle should have enough firepower across all the whole game to be able, and in all positions to be able to take care of Melbourne, who I think their first eight or nine players are quite strong and pretty reasonable, but I think that sort of back end or that tail end of their side just tends to struggle against the better teams who have got depth across the board.
I think there's going to be very interesting as well. There's been a lot of talk through the media this week about the defence versus defence, I guess, the whole Ruse and Lyon apprenticeship stuff. And, you know, obviously Ruse has brought a lot of that defensive play as well to team defence to Melbourne this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how that actually plays out, watching two teams with a pretty similar style if Ruse goes the full defence this week. There's another, there's actually another matchup that I think Seppo will be pretty interested in as well for the second week in a row. It's Dean Margetts versus Fremantle. That's another interesting matchup again.
Yeah, they've got Bannister, Margetts and Dalgleish going up. I think Dalgleish did a pretty good job. I think he was one of the umpires last week and he wasn't noticed, which was quite good. Okay. So it'd be interesting that, they've got those guys going up there. So let's see favorite. How they go.
Yeah, I mean, and it said you just wanted to be consistent for both sides, and you know, obviously, always some of us look with the purple haze on, you know, glasses on. But you know, there certainly was a couple of head scratches last week, and you know, obviously, guys who hadn't played for a while, like McGinnity, they forgot about his ability to drop his knees, and you think all that sort of stuff is gone. But obviously, you know, trying to keep the game close as possible, so hopefully the atmosphere isn't there to do it. But so, what do you think of the? What do you think the tip will be this week, Simo? What do you reckon the result will be?
Hey, look, I don't think it's going to be as. I think Freo will win quite comfortably. I don't think it's going to be the percentage boost that everyone's saying. You know, especially because of their, as I said, the Ruse bringing the defence, but also because of the whole. It's just going to be slippery, whether we like it or not. But I think Freo will still get over the line. But I'm thinking by about 25 points.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go for a 35 points. This is going to be based on Hayden Ballantyne playing his 100th game, and he'll be great when the ball does come to ground. Once, you know, Pavlich or Mains, you know, gone for the mark and it's spilled down, Ballantyne's going to really, you know, continue his great run of form playing his 100th game. He'll have something to prove, especially another away game, which we want to see him continue these, not just play at home, but get results away. And also Colin Sylvia playing against his old side is going to help, and he'll have something to prove as well. So we've got at least two guys that suit this type of, you know, conditions that will be looking to get on the scoreboard. I think the way that Melbourne will play will force us to kick quite inaccurately. And obviously the conditions as well might affect our skills. So we could be looking at a low game. But still enough, I think, to win by about six goals. Put me down for 30 points.
Yeah, I think I think it should be probably a little bit like the Bulldogs earlier this year. I think we're probably a two-goal side better in each quarter. So using that logic, I think we should, if we play to our potential, should win by about eight goals. And, I mean, although the result last week was a lot closer than expected, I think that you can't really gloss over the fact that really Western Bulldogs managed to get them out to a six-goal lead, but they obviously didn't sustain it. But I think if you do that against Fremantle, I don't think they'll be able to get that sort of result back. So, I mean, I know Melbourne are terrible at Etihad as well, so it'll be certainly interesting. And obviously Fremantle haven't had the opportunity to play up in Darwin for a while, or some of the guys certainly haven't. So it'll be a sort of a bit of a test for us playing on a new venue, and obviously second one we've played this year where we hadn't played at the Adelaide Oval either. So it'll certainly be an interesting game for us, but I think I think it's eight goal result would be probably a par result, I think, for us this week based on the two sides and where they sit on the ladder. And obviously with the top four aspirations and obviously trying to get to the top two, I think percentage could end up being an important factor. So we need to certainly make every post a winner between now and the last eight games of the season.
I think Centurions as well, I've noticed the slow starts are a little frustrating that we've been having this year. But I think if we do come out of the blocks quite hard, I think that hard and fast, I don't think Melbourne will be able to stick with us at all, and that's when we might have that blowout game. But if we do have that slow start that we've been having for the last month or two in that first quarter, that's what might be able to keep them a little bit closer. So it'll be interesting to see if they fix that up this week.
Yeah, it's been funny. It's always generally been our third quarters in the previous few years that have always been sort of our downfall. We never really come out well after half time, but this year we've seemed to have really rectified that a lot, and we've quite strong in the third quarter. In the game we played against Richmond, the game we played against Adelaide, and even last week, in last week's game, we sort of came out and dominated the third quarter. So it's sort of been a bit of a change for us, but we just haven't been able to get those starts right, as you were saying, Simo. So obviously it'll be a bit of a focus this week, I think, with Ross Lyon, and hopefully the boys will come out and do the job.
Absolutely.
Simo, before we go, Seppo, tonight, this week, do you want to sort of briefly touch on the game? Unfortunately, you guys weren't able to get over the line last week before the derby with the Melbourne battle between the Eagles and Dockers.
Yeah, no, it was a tight battle. It was blustery conditions. We put up a good fight for when we had the wind. I think there was two goals kicked in each quarter for the side that had the wind, but I think the Eagles dominated in the last where we couldn't get onto the scoreboard. And I got on the board myself, and I think in the second. So I kicked one goal one. But we fell short by 12 points, and the key for the Eagles, they had two or three big units that were just plonked at centre-half back and full-back that marked everything we kicked in there. So it was a bit disappointing for us, but we'll be back next year and hopefully looking to recruit a couple of key tools and get our side right so we can win the grudge match over here.
Yeah, it'd be nice to break that losing streak over there, and hopefully the boys will get over the line. All right, anything else, guys, that you or any sort of messages for the board, Seppo, before we head off this week?
No, my highlight for the board this week, and other than all the talk about Morabito, is the thread about Hill that Clogg's put on, and just realising a lot of the stats and how well he's improved this year. And one thing that's brought to my attention is actually third behind Pavlich and Ballantyne for goals kicked, which is great to see because he's kicking more goals, and it's great to see he's actually getting a bit of recognition, and he could be, you know, finishing top three in the best and fairest this year, I think, for us. He's had a very good and consistent year, and it's a great thread that Clogg's put up on the board. Check it out if you're there.
Absolutely. And so thanks again for joining us this week, Simo. It's great to have you on board, and hopefully we'll get you on again before the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And Seppo, thanks again for joining us again this week, mate, for your usual intake and inputs into the side. And hopefully, as I said, we'll continue our six-game winning streak this week.
No worries. And I hope everyone enjoys and lives the moment where Morabito takes off that sub-vest, you'd think, and runs onto the ground. It's going to be an exciting moment.
Absolutely. And obviously, for those people who had Subiaco, we'll hopefully see him again the following week against GWS. But it will certainly be a... Everyone will be waiting with bated breath to see him, as you said, pull off the vest, and if that ends up being that way, and it'll be terrific for our Fremantle supporters to be able to sort of watch him back in action, because, as I said, I know looking on the Twitter feed today, Seppo, the highlights of Morabito from a few years ago, certainly he'll certainly add something to our midfield, and not only a big body, but just his ability to finish, and particularly outside 50 will just be a real added bonus for the side if he can get back to anywhere near the form he showed prior to his injuries.
And good luck, and you lucky pieces of rubbish that get to go up there and watch him live in Darwin. So I'm certainly envious of all those up there that get to watch him play.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we'll hear those Freo supporters there, and it'd be nice to get up there myself. But unfortunately, it's pretty pricey to get up there at the moment, actually. It's, I couldn't believe how expensive it was. So, but let's hope not only Morabito has a great game, but the whole side, and we get away with the chocolates.
Hopefully someone can make a banner as well. That'd be good with a nice away game. Someone can make a nice big banner. That'd be good and following Seppo's lead up there.
Yeah,
absolutely. What are they doing this week, Seppo? With the is there anything going on up there for the?
No, I don't think we've even have a banner because out of the WA and Melbourne cheer squads, I don't think we've managed to put one together. So I don't even know if the supporter groups, if there's too many people. We've only got a handful of people coming from our Melbourne supporter base, and I think there's only a couple from the WHU squad making up for this one. So it'll be a limited crowd, but there'll be certain pockets of supporters scattered around that ground, obviously with a couple of flags and bits and pieces. So
Daniel Pearce won't know where to run, seeing he runs outside the banner every week. He'll be a bit lost. So we'll hopefully see how it goes. And all right, thanks for joining us again this week, fellas, and we'll see you again next week. And let's hope we, as I said, get away with a good, comfortable victory and keep our momentum for the top four going till the end of the year. That's it for this week, and we'll see you again next week. Don't forget to update on the iTunes, and by all means, guys, if anyone's interested in coming along like Simo has this week, please put your name forward and we'll get you on board. That's it for now. Bye for now.